Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Okay, let's jump into this because I feel like a lot of people have different versions of what a season of singleness is. Like there's the closed version, and then there's just like, I'm not really closed off, but I'm also not really looking to date. So if you kind of want to share like your point of view on what that looks like, and then, you know, what would you do if somebody all of a sudden came up to you in this season of singleness and was like, hey, I'm into
Well, like I said early on, I did go through a season of singleness. So in 2018, I took a year off of dating, and right before the pandemic, and then didn't really date much after that for a while. But I just decided to intentionally take a whole year off of dating and just see. I wanted to get to know the Lord better. I wanted to work on myself. I wanted to become, you know, the person I'm looking for is looking for, you know. You know, surprisingly, I didn't have a lot of people come around during that time. And I don't know if that was the Lord protecting me or if it was just like I felt closed off. So nobody, you know, people could recognize that. I don't know. But yeah, it was easy. But at the same time, you know, also trying to work on myself and, you know, see where the Lord takes me. And I don't know what I would have done if somebody would have come into my life at that time. But I also know it was easy to be like, nope, I'm just not dating. So I can't really say, you know, if somebody were to have come into my life at that time, if it would have been like, okay, I'll just drop this. I think I would have hoped that they would have understood and wanted to wait, you know, for that time to be over, to give me room to grow and to learn and to even just develop as a friendship, you know, 'cause that's ultimately the goal, is to become friends before you jump into anything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
I'm always intrigued because like every time I've taken time off dating, and I took a long time off dating, but ever since I jumped back into the dating world, like I'll have these times where I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. And I'm like, I'm going to take some time off. But that's when like all these guys just come out of the woodwork and I'm like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, so I'm just always curious to see like how that is for other ladies. You know, because it's always the ones that I like, I've turned down for whatever reason, or like they've turned me down for whatever reason. But then they always just like, oh, I'm going to come back in. And it's like, get behind me, Satan.
Right.
You know,
like, yes,
I am closed off right now. I am trying to work on me, like, you know, and so it's just, yeah, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I did get into a relationship back in 2021 and I felt like there were people that were like coming around and I'm like, I'm already in a relationship right now. So it is kind of interesting how that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, did they all get some memo that I didn't know I was putting out there?
I've heard it said though, that people, you know, they see that you're in a healthy relationship. And so they see that healthiness and they start coming out of the woodworks because they know that you're healthy and you're happy and, you know, you exude this joy. So that could also be what attracts people to people who are dating or who are in a relationship, because they are their healthiest version of themselves, you know?
Yeah, so, that's a really good point too. I'm going to start thinking that way.
Right? Yeah.
Be like, it's not
put a positive on it.
Yeah, it's not that I'm doing something wrong. It's that I'm doing something right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you for that perspective.
Yeah. Sure.
I haven't asked this many women yet, but I'm just curious. Okay. Like how many relationships have you been in? Or have you had like more situationships, or what does that look like?
So I've been engaged once.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was engaged back in 2021. Mm-hmm. We got engaged fairly quickly, probably after about 6 months. Okay. And before that, I've dated, but I've also never like considered anything like a long-term relationship or anything really serious. I've had a few, friends with benefits, make out buddies or whatnot, but, nothing really serious besides my ex-fiance. And, I think I was just so ready to be in a relationship and to, wanted to be married so badly that I kind of was like, okay, even though I'm not 100% on him and, everything that, mm-hmm. he is, that I'm just ready to go forward and just push on and see where things go. And then we got engaged and then I started planning the wedding. And before I knew it, I'm like, I don't think he's the right person. I had the whole wedding planned in like 2 weeks and had my wedding dress already bought and all the save the dates, already purchased. And I think I rushed myself because I'm like trying to, well, if I have everything done, then I can't back out,
Yep.
And so I felt so bad and it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do to, call off the wedding and to call off the engagement and to break up with him. Mm-hmm. And it came out of nowhere. He had no idea. We just weren't compatible. We just weren't right for each other and we were kind of forcing it. And I just couldn't make it work in my head, all the details. So anyway, that's kind of the extent of my relationship history. I'm always open to dating. I'm always open to meeting people. I've met lots of people. I've gone on a lot of first dates, a few second. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just haven't met the right person. And it's so complicated.
I know. Yeah. It's like, thank you for sharing that also.
Yeah.
I think I've had so many conversations already about how complicated it is and why we all think it's so complicated. And it's been interesting to see the different responses because obviously I have my opinions, about why the general Christian public makes dating so difficult. It's been really, really interesting to see those different viewpoints from everybody because, we all have different dating history, right? Some of us are divorced. Uh-huh. Some of us have never been married, some of us have had a bunch of relationships and some of us haven't. So it's been really interesting to kind of gain that perspective on that viewpoint of why we think it's so complicated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I'm just curious. Why do you think it's complicated?
It's just hard to meet people in, like a natural setting anymore. Mm-hmm. We're at work all the time or we're hanging out with friends or whatever. Like I don't go out because, I'm a responsible adult. And I go out with friends every once in a while, but it's more like to be with friends. I'm not going out to meet people. Mm-hmm. I guess people are more homebodies. I think COVID definitely made that worse.
And yes.
It's like, okay, you go to work and you go home and, or you go to church and you go home or whatever the store, like there's just, not a lot of places that you go and people got used to being at home. And then, so now to put yourself out there and to have to make an effort and then online dating is so crazy and complicated and you don't know who you can trust and who you can't. And
yes,
it's just like people are not always truthful. And I've ran into that quite a bit, but I'm always the most truthful. Like I will put everything out there. I will lay it all out. I'll be 100% me online. And so when I don't get that in return, it can be a little disheartening. So, I think it's just so hard to meet people naturally. I always think that people should be setting their friends up, I'm always open to blind dates or meeting people like at a house for a party and like setups and knowing that it's a setup and, but
yes,
just hasn't really happened quite yet. So, But yeah, I'm always open. I'm a pretty open, honest person, and mm-hmm. I like to expect that in return from people, but don't always get it. So
yeah, you bring up such a great point, though. I feel like, well, for me, I've had a lot of married friends. I have more single friends now, but that's because of the Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. You right. know? So those have been great for that. But the majority of my friends are married. And mm-hmm. so it's like they don't have a lot of single friends either. I'm like right. the one single yeah. friend, and I'm all, how am I supposed to meet people?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I know. Sometimes you have to think outside the box too. Like, oh, yeah. you just met this person. Oh, they're single. Oh, hey, let's get to know you too. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. Cause married people too, they get in their own, you know, mm-hmm. space, and they're in their own bubble, and, you know, they're not meeting new people most of the time. Mm-hmm. But I've always had this idea that like the person that I'm going to be with is just like a friend of a friend. Like, oh, yeah, I never thought about you two together. Like for some reason I have this great piece that it's going to be like, oh, you guys would be great together. I just never thought about you two together. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to wait on that. And I really hope that that's going to happen. But then again, I force myself to like go on online dates and meet people through singles groups and things like that. So
yeah.
I'm kind of, yeah, I have no idea. It's so complicated.
It is, and it doesn't need to be. I'm just like, just start meeting people and see what happens. But
yeah,
I make it complicated for myself though too.
It's true. Yeah, we get in our own heads about things and
yeah,
build up stories or create fantasies, and then we're like, you know, let down when things don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a really good conversation yesterday about the grieving process of it was going to be, and then having to grieve that because it's not how it has turned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it was really interesting. I was like, I'm not going to cry, you know, but.
Right. I'm the one interviewing. I don't want to cry.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, sure. You were speaking to my soul right there. But yeah,
right? Yeah,
it's crazy to think about how many of us are 30 and up and still trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's why I'm loving doing this. I'm hoping that it helps somebody, at least just one person. That's all I ask.
Right.
You yeah. know? But absolutely. It's been cool to have these conversations. So, okay. You have a really good perspective on purity culture. Do you mind like talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's go.
So with purity culture, like recently I've just kind of been unraveling that. And I was talking to my brother the other day, and he's not necessarily, you know, in the church anymore, but we were both talking about how, you know, purity culture kind of influenced us and made us think that like, if we do everything right, you know, that we're going to be blessed with this wonderful marriage and a wonderful sex life. And, you know, everything's just going to be, you know, the Lord's just going to bless us with this. And the older I get, the more I'm like, I've done everything right. I've, you know, saved myself for marriage. Like I am still a virgin at 38, you know, and, and I'm still not married, and I still don't have any prospects. And I've, you know, like, it's just this idol that you kind of place on a pedestal. And, you know, and then people do get married and they're like, yeah, it's not everything you thought it was going to be. And it's hard. It's not easy. You know, but purity culture kind of just made it seem like it was the end all be all. It's the thing to achieve. And it's not necessarily true. And it also really heavily influenced me in like, hey, you know, sex is bad outside of marriage, you know,
right,
but sex is bad. So let's save it for the one that you love, because it's bad, you know, like, it's just, it's so funny how that happens. But it's like, no, we are sexual beings. We do have these natural urges. It's like, what do we do with it in our singleness? And you know, how do we walk in that, you know, how do we walk in being a sexual being and, you know, and embrace that but at the same time, keeping ourselves pure from, you know, temptation. You know, it's just, I'm really wrestling with that. You know, I don't think that we were intended to be single into our, you know, 30s, late 30s, 40s, you know, 50s. And, you know, people were getting married so much younger, like they were having a healthy sex life, you know, in their younger age. And it's like, what do we do? What do we do with this at this age when we have all these desires and urges? So it's something that we're all still walking through and struggling with and trying to see what that looks like. But yeah, purity culture, I don't know that it was ever a good thing. I think that the 90s and everybody, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, like all these things, you know, purity rings, it was all intended for good, but I think it did a lot more harm than they really realized. And a lot of people in their 30s and 40s are unraveling that and unpacking that and in counseling about that and talking that through. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's a lot.
It is. It's so funny. Like, I don't have it on right now, but I still have my purity ring.
Yeah.
I still have
I always wanted to get one, but I never did. I never got one. So
yeah, I love it. I still wear it the majority of the time. But at the same time, I get a lot of people going, "Oh, so you're engaged." And I'm like, no,
it's complicated.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated.
You know, I'm engaged to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at this current moment. Yeah. So it's so funny because I think I'm still dealing with some of those ramifications from purity culture. It's like when I don't have it on, I feel guilty. Right. But then when I wear it, I have these like thoughts of like, oh, you know, like the guy's not going to know that I'm not married or not single, or you know what I mean? Like they're going to see this ring and not come talk to me. And so it's just like, you know, in that moment, I put God in a box because I have full belief that if the guy is for me, he'll still ask the question, you know, like, so are you single? But it's still just like this guilt that is associated with not wearing it versus wearing it. And like, what does that look like? And because I'm very open about the fact that I'm waiting for marriage, like I'm still a virgin myself. And you know, and so I don't know, it's just kind of that weird like mind flip, you know, and the only reason I don't have it on right now is because I've been flying a lot and, you know, swollen hands.
Yes,
and it's just, so I'm like, hey, I don't have it on. I have it with me. I just don't have it on. But anyway, it's just, it's funny to see, not funny. It's ironic, I guess is a better word. To see how all of this affected us in different ways, but also in so many similar ways, you know, like I have people, I'm sure you've had this too, where they're like, you're still a virgin. Like what?
Right. And I'm yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, like,
but I've also had people say like, who aren't virgins. They're like, well, that's a great gift. Like, that's a great quality. Like some, you know, your future person is going to be very lucky. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Thanks. Yeah, I've gotten that too. Yeah, I've gotten that too.
And people are like, isn't it hard? Yeah, people are like, isn't it hard to wait? And I'm like, well, I don't know anything different. So no, it's not. Like,
yeah,
you know, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so funny too, because I feel like with certain people, they hear that and then they're like, oh, so you've never done anything. And I'm all, I mean, no. Like, what am I, how am I supposed to answer that question? Because like, that's such a different, like there's ranges there, you know what I mean? Like with that realm. So anyway, it's just funny because I'm like, I don't know how to answer you. And why are we asking that question?
And why are you asking? What are your intentions? People are always very curious what that looks like. So
yeah. And I'm just like, just know, know. Just, that's all you need to know. It's just no.
It's not a topic of conversation like that. It's a you know, closed conversation.
It'll be a topic that I have with somebody that I'm actually serious with, not somebody that I'm just trying to get to know. But you know,
for sure.
Anyway, Thank you for that perspective, because
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel all of that.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's so, I feel like it shouldn't be a topic that's taboo, but it is a topic that's taboo. And I'm like, we need to stop letting it be a taboo.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about expectations as far as a man leading in a relationship.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because I feel like this is such a different range with everybody, you know, mm-hmm. what that looks like to us personally. And I feel like guys can benefit from hearing different perspectives. So,
yeah. I believe in traditional, you know, gender roles. I like a man mm-hmm. being able to, you know, be the head of the household and lead me, you know, whatever that looks like. Like, I think it's also, you know, a partnership. It's also a partnership. Like, you need to come together and make decisions together, but ultimately I want my future spouse to be able to, you know, be the leader of the house and mm-hmm. to, you know, make those hard decisions and, you know, ultimately have, I guess, the final say. But I also am not the type of person that is like timid or who's going to be like, mm-hmm. you know, not able to share my opinions and voice my concerns. And, I don't know exactly what that will look like. Cause obviously I don't know, but, I just want to be able to have him lead, but he also, you know, needs to love me and support me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the church, like, you know, in the Bible, like how it says, you know, the man is the head of the household and leads the family, but also, you know, or what? No, I'm thinking of wives submit to your husbands.
Yeah.
And then it's like, as you know, but also husbands love your wives as, you know, I think it's that Christ loves the church or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. But anyway, it goes both ways. It has to be a union. It has to be a partnership. But yeah, I do look for that. I do want that. I appreciate when, you know, a man takes charge and when he is able to take on those responsibilities, but it's also not expected either. If a future spouse wouldn't step up to it, like mm-hmm. I would try to help steward that and to help, you know, that he is wanting, I wouldn't automatically, you know, just dismiss that situation or that relationship. So it's something that I crave. I really want somebody to lead me, but at the same time, I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah. I think you bring up some great points though. I feel like our generation, and maybe because of purity culture, but also just other things like culturally, I feel like we weren't necessarily taught what that looks like, you know.
Right.
I mean, because each of us come from different family backgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like my dad has been a good leader. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that that's not a thing. It's just, mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily something that we were taught. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. again, I think each personality, like, is going to lead different mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like, what does that look like within all these different pairings of couples, you know? And I think that's where, you know, God really comes in, making uh-huh. sure that you're both on the same page and both running after him and, you know, like basically checking each other against what the Bible says. And instead of just kind of.
Right.
Okay, well, we're going to go off on this little trail over here, even though that's not what God wants us to do. You know, whatever. thing here.
I want him to be like seeking, you know, seeking the Lord and seeking his wisdom and mm-hmm. using the Bible to, you know, make wise decisions. Like, I want him to be that. I mean, obviously, our relationships with the Lord is important, but mm-hmm. I want him to have that ultimate, like, you know, sturdy foundation, mm-hmm. You know, in the Bible and, you know, wisdom from the Lord to be able to lead properly too. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that comes down to like, obviously spiritual maturity, but, and then that's a different range of things too, but you know, Like, I know somebody who's been praying for her future husband for a long time, and she always specifically prays that he have the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm like, oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, I love that. I don't know if I want to pray that myself, but I feel like I should now. Like, the older I've gotten, I'm like, maybe I should have been praying that.
I know.
You know, but it's such a good, I feel like that's a really good thing to be praying, like characteristic wise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes we get focused on the other things instead of the character. You know, right. It's like, but your character is just as important as all the other outward things.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the other women was talking about how, you know, we don't get to choose our own family, but we get to choose our children's parents, basically. So, like, she was putting it as, you know, male and female, like, you need to be looking at it, not only what they're going to be able to, or how your relationship's going to be, but how are they going to be for with your kids, future children, if you have children, you know. And I was like, that's huge.
That is big. Yeah I don't actually want children.
Yeah,
so I think the closer I get to approaching 40, I'm like, I don't really know that I ever had that desire to have kids and to be a mom. I would love to be a mom in the sense of, like, a bonus mom. Like, if I were to meet somebody that has kids, you know, I would love to be a bonus mom and come alongside him and or his, you know, ex or whatever the kid's mom, to support them in however that looks or whatever they want me to be in that role. You know, I have 6 young nieces and a nephew, like, they're all under 8. And so I'm a proud auntie, and I just, that really fills a big, you know, desire in my heart to be able to mother, but I don't really know that I want to birth children of my own. So it's it's a weird place to be in, because I'm like, I just don't know if I want to be a mom. But, you know, I do have a natural instinct to mother, and am a very caring, loving person. How that looks and how to be able to, you know, steward that well. Without being a mom myself. So
bring up another great point. Like, the I'm an auntie too. I have a few of them, and so it's like, I've always told every single one of them, like, oh, you're my kids until I have kids, or if I have kids, you know. But there's so many of us that are in our mid to late 30s or even early 40s that, you know, still want to try and have children. And it's like, you know, this whole, it goes back to the grieving thing, right? Like, it was kind of mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, what does that look like? You know, are we going to be bonus moms? I personally would love to be a bonus mom as well. Like, I feel like I would rock that, you know,
right. Me too.
I'm like, I would be a great,
I could be the fun one.
Yeah.
I could be the fun one. I don't have to be, like, super, super strict. Like, I'll be respectful of whatever they want, but I won't, you know, have to do, like, all of the disciplining or whatever it is. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that looks so different depending on the situation, obviously, but would be, I would love to be in that area.
Yeah. It's also interesting too, though, because I do have people who will tell me, like, well, you just don't understand because you're not a mom, you know? And they're like, something changes when you become a parent. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, it kind of can be a little bit of a slap in the face. Like, well, you're just not a mom, you don't know. And I'm like, that's a lot more hurtful than you realize what you're saying.
I have been told that so many times, and I'm like, okay, well, just ignore the fact that I helped raise my youngest brother and that I've, you know, helped raise my nephew, and you know, they're both 24 and 20, almost 20 now. Like, are you kidding me? You know, because different circumstances.
I mean, we still have the same, we still have the same capacity to love. I mean, obviously there is a different chemical that releases when you become a parent. And, you know, your I think capacity to love is way different once you do become a parent, but we still have some of that same connection and stuff. It's just different. But yeah, it can be a lot more hurtful than people realize.
So note to people out there, stop saying that.
Yes.
I've lost my mind a couple of times when people have told me that. And yeah. Just like, you have no, especially as somebody who has desired that since I was like a teen, you know, it's like, you have no idea how deeply that cut just now. And, you know, it's like, but I can't, I'm so upset that I can't tell you, you know, like how deep that hurt. So.
Well, even as somebody who doesn't want to become a mom, like it still hurts.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not helpful. So.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. There are so many things that we say to each other and I'm just like, so not helpful. Like, I don't, just a perspective shift that I've had in the last few years is like, I've stopped asking couples, oh, when are you going to start having kids?
You know? Yeah.
Cause that
can
be
a huge thing. Yeah. Huge source of contentment and just hurt. Yeah. There's, we don't know. We don't know what people are going through and the struggles that they're going through. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Like our family, we've experienced multiple miscarriages within our family. So like, because of that, I'm like, nope. I don't ask that question anymore. And like, and if I do ask a similar question, I'm like, okay, I'm going to phrase this in a way that it's like, I'm not, you know, I want to know, but I also leave it up to them to be like, I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? And it's not so much just like, oh, well, when are you guys going to start having kids? It's more like, hey, you know, is this something that you guys are trying for in the future? Lord willing, you know what I mean? Like throw it out there like that instead of it being so... Oh, so when are you going to do this?
Yeah.
The question of, oh, when are you going to get married too, is another one that just stopped.
Or why hasn't somebody snatched you up? You know, you're such a catch. And I'm like, if I knew, I wouldn't be single. You know, it's like they're almost backhanded, you know, like a backhanded compliment, like, you know, what's wrong with you? Like, in a way, what's wrong with you that you're not married yet or whatever? Exactly. And it's like, if I knew, I wouldn't be single.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I just put myself in that box last night. I was talking to somebody and I was like, you know, joking, but at the same time, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that. It was the whole like, okay, so I want all these things. Like, you know, I'm such a catch, but how am I still single? And I'm like, stop thinking like that.
Yeah.
Not a benefit.
I personally think I'm going to be a great future spouse, but you know, I have a lot of great qualities. I just haven't found the right person that is, you know, the good match for me yet. So yeah.
Yep. Dating is so difficult.
Yes.
So yeah, because you referenced your biggest struggle already with dating, finding a good match. Amen, sister. Like let's talk about being eager, but trying to be patient in the waiting. Because I feel like that's such a huge, huge thing that we tend to ignore. So yeah, if you want to kind of explain more about what you mean by that and what that looks like.
I mean, I'm definitely eager to get married, to start a relationship, to build a partnership and, you know, a life together with somebody. But, you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, oh, I really, really want this. I really like, there's been times, you know, you cry, you know, like, why God, why am I still single at this age? But then, you know, you also kind of have to not dwell on that and, you know, be content in the singleness and be patient too. Like just know that He is in control of this. He knows exactly when we are going to meet our future spouse. Like he's just like, oh, just you wait, you know, and we don't see the big picture. He does. Yeah, it's just it's kind of like a, you know, you have in one hand, you're super eager to get married and to start that family and relationship or whatever. But you need to be somewhat content in where you're at and, just being able to wait on the Lord and his timing, because you don't want to rush things. You know, he knows exactly when it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's a big balancing game. Just like, it doesn't mean I can't get angry about it. It doesn't mean I don't get upset about it or have some tears shed about it. And, but just trying to rest and know that he's taking care of it. And, but also helping things along too. Like, we can't just sit around our house waiting for the FedEx guy to come be the person, you know, like, we have to also put ourselves out there and be, you know, available. And, and then also I've just recently heard somebody say, like, singleness is such a gift. Like, and it's true, because I don't have anything tying me down. I can go somewhere. I can travel. I don't have to check in with anyone, you know, and I do a lot of house sitting. I'm house sitting right now for 3 weeks, and then I'm booked until the end of December, basically. And wow. I don't have anybody, you know, that I have to check in with. And it's just nice to be able to get up and go and not have to do anything. I like to solo travel. I do a lot of road trips by myself. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to stop for people and stop when they need to go to the bathroom. Like, you can just hit the road and push through, or stop whenever you want to stop to take photos or eat or whatever.
Right.
But it, yeah, I've just been realizing how much of a gift it is right now, and everything will change when I meet that future person, and it will be different to have to, like, check in with them and to not necessarily get a permission, but just, like, be on the same page about things, and can't just get up and go and do things, like, you know, you have to talk about things.
Yeah. Oh, traveling. There we go. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do a lot of that too. And mm-hmm. I'm going to the meetup in November, and I'm super excited.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. To be able to go meet all these random internet strangers. but
right.
Yeah. It's just so great though. Cause I haven't traveled in a while. You know, COVID kind of put a stop to that.
Right.
But
yeah.
You know, it's like focusing on, you know, bettering yourself, but also not, but also still living. That's the way I want to phrase that. Like, you know, yes, you want to get married and have all these things, but that doesn't mean you have to be stuck and not living your own life.
Right.
But at the same time, you make a great point of, like, when that changes, it will probably be a little bit of an adjustment.
It will be a huge adjustment for me. Huge. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend the other day about it, because she just started dating somebody, and she's like, I don't know how this is going to work, because she's been so used to being so single. And I'm like, I was like, but you both have, like, her and this guy. And so... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, you're both going to have to go through the adjustment together. And she's like, that's true.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, just let it flow. However it's going to flow, you just communicate and, you know, see what that looks like.
But also, but also at the same time, like, that constant communication is a little hard for me. Which is, I mean, I want it, but at the same time, like, if the guy is super into communicating a lot, I get a little overwhelmed. Like, I don't want to be texting throughout the whole day. Like, I work all day and I can't be on my phone at work. And, you know, when I'm getting all these messages and I'm like, I can't respond, or, you know, like, I don't know. It's a lot of pressure. Constant communication can be a lot of pressure, and just not something I'm used to.
Yeah. Leaving somebody better than we found them. Like, I think that's just so, so important. And the majority of us just don't, I mean, well, in my experience, a lot of us don't get that. And, you know, it's like, how do we sit here and say that we're like, in some certain situations, like, say that we're believers and stuff, but we treat other people this way. And it's like, That's not very Christ-like, guys. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've been convicted about it a lot too. And I'm like, okay, you need to be a little bit better on how you're letting people down and, you know, don't ghost them. Like, actually tell them, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants to be ghosted. Nobody wants to just be left on red, waiting to see what's going on. And so that's why I'm like, okay, I know it's not going to work out. Let's just end it here.
Yeah. And I've been through so many situationships in the last couple of years, and it's just like some of these could have ended a lot better than they did.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. On either side, like either it was me ending it or he was ending it. And it's just like, why did we have to do it that way? Like, it could have been better. So like moving forward, how am I going to handle this situation?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like that's just, I don't know if you've listened to any of the What Men Think series.
I haven't.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, I should.
It's real good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I will. It's really good.
Okay.
But that keeps getting brought up by all these guys too. And I'm just like, see, we both sides suck at this.
Right? Yeah. You know? It's just like, hard. It's hard being an adult. It's hard being a Christian adult, you know, like it's just, and you know, a lot of people are just so shy and so scared to fail that they don't even try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done a lot of like reading different books and just trying to build my confidence. And, you know, like if you don't try, like you're never going to know, or nothing's going to happen if you don't try.
Yes.
And what is the, you know, what's the harm in failing? Like, sure, you ask somebody out and they don't like you. Okay. Just move on to the next person. Like, don't put so much weight in something. You know, like don't plan your marriage before you even talk to the person,
Right.
Which is hard for women to not do, but
yes, it is.
I've done it myself, but, I think when I took that year off of dating, I just decided, because before that, I was literally looking at every person I met, any guy that I met that I found attractive. And I was like, oh, could he be my future husband? And like, I literally was thinking that in my mind, and I'm like, would he be a good, you know, husband or father or whatever? And then I just kind of like, when I decided to take that commitment and not date, I just realized like, don't put so much pressure on this. Like, it's literally like, do you want to have a conversation with someone? Like, it's not a marriage proposal. And so, I just decided to go for things and not put so much weight into it, not put so much pressure on something. So that then you don't become disappointed, and you know, don't put so much expectation on that. So, and it just makes it more comfortable for everyone involved. So, because then you can be yourself. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. My like family's life motto is unmet expectations brings frustrations. And it's so true. It is so true. I mean, my dad like instilled that in us from a very young age, but he was doing it in the sense of like, okay, you know, we're going to go on this family vacation, or we're going to go out to the river for the weekend, or, you know, we're going to do whatever, like insert thing here. And, you know, so we're going to have a quick conversation about expectations. And like, you know, if it was a family vacation, we'd all have to come up with an expectation. And then that way everybody knew, hey, like, we're going to go, you know, it's the river this weekend, and the boys want to go on the inner tube. The girls want to hang out and read, you know? And so like, whatever, that's just a random example, but, you know, but everybody knew ahead of time, okay, these are the expectations that each of us have. So it took a lot of the pressure and frustration out of the weekend, because it was said, and, you know, like I couldn't get frustrated because my brothers were gone all day, and, you know, or like whatever, like, or they couldn't be frustrated because I wasn't out playing with them because I was reading my book. You know, so, or, you know, vice versa, like whatever the situation was. But, yeah, it just, it helped a lot and growing up, and I feel like I still try and carry that into everything, but it can be a struggle.
Yeah. Oh, you know, sure.
But it's such a great thing to kind of keep in mind, you know, just communicate what those expectations are.
And or just walk into things without any expectations.
Yeah, like, yes,
I don't expect to do anything. Like a lot of the times with my traveling or like road trips or things like that, I'm like, okay, I have a destination for the night, like, but during the day, don't know what I'm going to do. So I could literally do anything and it, you know, just walk into things like with an open mind and so then you don't have any expectations to be disappointed when you don't meet them.
Yes. Yeah. Also agreed. As a planner, it's very hard for me to do that, but
I used to be a really, like, I loved having a plan. I loved having everything. And then something changed. I don't know if it was because I do a lot of house sitting or traveling or whatever. I just was like, you know, I don't need to know. I don't need to know all the details. And I've always been a very detailed person. So I don't know. I don't know what changed. I'm just getting older, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting better at it, but there's still parts of me that's like, okay, we need to have an idea of what's going to happen. And but yeah, that's so great. I'm like, I want to go traveling with you. Let's go plan a trip.
Right.
Yeah. That would be fun. I feel like more people need to just do it. Just go.
Yeah. I love to just pack up my car and I just bring like a bunch of laundry baskets full of clothes and have like a smaller bag. So then wherever I'm at that night, I can just take in the clothes that I need. And and then, you know, pack up snacks and drinks and water and hit the road. I did. So I live in Oregon. So I did Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and then went back. I did a huge loop over 2 weeks and just visited friends that have moved out of the area and stayed at their house. I only had to find a place one night and I did a really cool glamping tent in Idaho.
Nice.
And but other than that, I just stayed at friends' houses and, you know, bought groceries and cooked at their houses for them and with them. And it was just a really fun 2 week vacation in July. So
that is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to do that because I have friends all over the country now. So.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I need to remember that so I could connect with people too. But it's really fun to just get in the car and drive and, you know, try to get, just have a destination for the night and you can just kind of figure it out as you go. So,
Yep. I need to do that soon. My little solo trip to North Carolina was great, but at the same time, like, I wish I had done a little bit more exploring. So, Ooh, okay. Let's talk about the long distance because I feel like a lot of us are like worse. I mean, there's some of us that are open to it, obviously, but then there's those of us who are like, heck no.
Yeah.
You know, for many reasons. So yeah, let's just chat about that because I feel like this is such a thing in current Christian dating culture right now. So
I know. Yeah. It can be really complicated. Like I don't prefer a long distance relationship because I want to be able to, you know, spend time with my future partner or whoever I'm dating. But you know, my ex and I, we were somewhat long distance. It was 3 hours. So,
okay.
I mean, it's a ways, but it's definitely doable. But we were basically like, either city, you know, every other weekend. And that got to be a lot, especially over the course of like 6-7 months. It was just, I lived out of a suitcase and it was really difficult. And then I was also commuting for work. So I was another 3 hours away from that. So it was just like a really hard time, but an adventure too. Like it was always fun. I got to see someplace new that I didn't really have experience with. And so anyway, I mean, it's just, you have to be really intentional. Like we did a lot of video chatting and texting and communicating with each other, talking on the phone when we were driving, things like that. But you know, if it was long, long distance, like hours and hours or across the country or across the world even, that could be difficult. You know, I'm open to it, but it's definitely not ideal. Just because logistics, it gets in the way, and, you know, you can't always hop on a plane and go see someone, or you have to see them every, you know, few months or, you know, whatever. But at the same time, like I find guys attractive that are, you know, in Texas, and I'm like, hey, you know, slide into their DMs, and they're like, I'm not into a long distance relationship. Like, so I kind of, when I'm initiating it, I am. But if another guy is like, hey, I live in Seattle, and it's like 6 hours away, I'm like, oh, I'm not really into long distance relationships. So I can be a little bit, I don't know, contradicted, like, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for. But yeah, it's just not always ideal. But I'm definitely not closed off to it, because you don't know, you know, you could, the person you could meet could be halfway across the country or the world. And so there, you can find love anywhere. But yeah, it's just kind of a, how open are you to an adventure? Because it is going to be an adventure.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.